Chapter 10. "What's the watch schedule for the Argents in the Box?" Scott asks. Styles gives a sigh. "As much as I'd love to make the watch double duty, the cell phone jammer will stop the laptop from tracking the GPS, so one of us will have to stay up and do that, too. Fun night, huh?" He shakes his head and looks at the hunters. "Look, guys, I want to trust you with this. I really, truly do. And I trust you with this." He points to the laptop. "I do not trust you with them." He points to the window and, by extension, the imprisoned Argents. "Does that strike you as fair?" Wednesday nods. "That sounds acceptable," she says, speaking before either Argent has a chance to venture an opinion. Sam gives a nod, and, in fact, seems a little relieved that he won't be asked to guard the Argents. "Okay, then," Styles says. "You guys will take the fascinating chore of watching the red dot in 2-hour shifts. Allison, you'll be there fourth. I don't want you out there with the Argents because they don't need more ammunition against Chris. So the rest of the pack will take 2-hour shifts on the Argents. Erica says she's good out there until midnight. We'll draw straws to decide on the shifts." The timer on the oven buzzes, and he swings it open to reveal 2 trays of bacon. The smell makes all of them, humans included, start salivating. Styles starts dishing things up. After a moment to consider, he takes out some plastic disposable plates. 2 of them get a portion of scrambled eggs, a piece of French toast, and 2 slices of bacon. A 3rd plastic plate gets a more generous serving of everything, including enough syrup to attract an entire colony of ants. "Derek, could you take these out to Erica and her charges?" "Sure." Derek closes his sketchbook and slides to the floor. "Whatever shift you want, give me the one next to it," he adds. It's his way of saying that he's just as likely as Styles to wake up screaming tonight, if not more so, and he's not sleeping without Styles. He stacks the 2 dry plates in one hand and takes Erica's in the other, then heads out of the kitchen. Styles shakes his head at him. "Does he even know what drawing straws means?" he asks the open air, then holds out a stack of plates. "Have at, guys," he says. He's not particularly hungry himself. Personally, he has no intention of sleeping, and has already taken some Adderall to assist with this. He wonders if maybe he and Derek should just watch the Argents all night and not bother the others. Scott snatches up a plate and a fork from the pile on the counter and watches everyone else do the same. In the end, there's only 1 plate left for Derek, since Styles didn't get one for himself. He gives Styles the side eye. He knows Styles and his tricks with medication, as well as how he deals with stress. "Do you?" he asks with a snort. Styles just makes a face at him as the others dive into the food. "I have research to do anyway," he says. "Keep your judginess to yourself." "You like my judginess, or you wouldn't have put up with it for over a decade," Scott says, but then moves a little closer and speaks under his breath so the others won't hear. "You 2 just take the watches after Erica, okay?" Styles gives a little nod. "Maybe I'll be able to sleep after that," he says, and gives a little shrug and turns to the coffee maker. Derek comes back inside and Styles hands him a mug and a plate full of food. The others certainly have healthy appetites. Sam is already on his 2nd plate. Derek takes both, giving the coffee a look of blind adoration. "I don't think I'll want to," he admits quietly. Allison moves closer to the 3 of them in an instinctual offer of comfort, even as she watches Jake and Wednesday square off over the last slice of bacon on the tray. "There's a 2nd tray, you know." "Right," Jake says, hastily redirecting his energy. Styles rolls his eyes at both of them, going over to his computer and tapping a few keys to see if he has any email. He lets out a quiet snort a minute later. "Gwen didn't appreciate me emailing her to ask if she knew of any creatures that feed off people's nightmares, and then not giving her any details," he says, more to Derek than anyone else. Derek breaks into one of his sudden, short-lived bursts of laughter, nearly snorting his coffee in the process. No, I can't imagine she would tolerate that well at all. She seems to be under the impression that I live to torment her, Stiles says. If she believes that, she should probably have a conversation with Chris, Derek replies. And then he has a moment with his coffee.
Okay, so who's Gwen?
Jake asks, with his mouth full of eggs. She's the woman I pay to listen to me bitch about my life, Stiles says, and sees Jake's blank look. He lets out a snort of laughter. She's my therapist. Yes, I have a therapist. I'm done being awkward about it. If you'd lived through what I have, you'd need one too. Sam is quiet for a moment before he decides it isn't impolite to ask a question. How do you manage to talk about things without giving away werewolves? Derek decides to field this question, shoving his plate at Stiles with the clear implication that Stiles is to eat at least some of what's on it. She's in the know. You can find someone in most professions that require discretion who has supernatural ties if you ask around and network. You think my lawyer doesn't know who and what my family was? What I am? I guess I'd never thought about it, Sam admits. Typical hunter arrogance, Stiles says, but he's mostly joking, pushing a piece of French toast around on the plate, trying to get it to absorb as much syrup as is humanly possible. It's because you don't need to, Derek says with a shrug. Why would you notice a good pack? Sam shakes his head a little. Even for someone who's always been taught the code, the idea of werewolves not causing trouble, just living normal lives, is a little weird to me. This whole place is just weird. Sorry if that's offensive, but it is. Stiles just shrugs a little. In an effort to change the subject, he starts clearing the empty dishes, watching Jake as he yawns and rubs at his eyes. Wow, you weren't kidding about your contacts. Your eyes are really red. I can't wait to take them out, Jake glumly admits. I would have taken them out a while ago, but, well, anyway, Mom says I must be putting them in wrong, or my hands must always be dirty or something. Stiles says, noncommittal. Well, you may as well go take them out, since I assume you guys will probably want to crash as soon as you're done eating. Sam nods. Jake and I will take the sofas. Lucy can have the guest room. Wednesday gives him something of a death glare for the use of her real name. I'll take the sofa in the TV room, Jake says eagerly. Sleeping, Sam says forcefully. We are sleeping. Right, Jake says. I'm going to go take my contacts out, he says, and bounces to his feet. Stiles gives a little snort of amusement and turns back to his computer, typing away. Scott looks over Stiles' shoulder to see the page of Google results, titled Contact Lens Irritation. Huh, he says. Don't forget to eat, he adds, then moves on to rinse off his plate and put it in the dishwasher. Then he starts to reach for the next plate. Derek turns and gives him a look. Erica has dish duty, he reminds the teenager. But, Scott protests, with a guilty look on his face. He clearly feels bad about having somehow escaped punishment. Derek just raises his eyebrows, so Scott slumps out of the kitchen. Derek considers this a win. Scott's moral compass will give him all the punishment he can get in the next week or so, as he watches Erica suffer. Erica is likely to heap on extra punishment as well. Stiles glances down to check the time on his computer. Tell you what, screw this whole watch schedule, he says. Let's go get Erica so she can do the dishes. When we're tired, we'll come in and wake Scott to take over for us. Deal? Derek pours both of them another mug of coffee and hands Stiles his. After you. Stiles accepts it and says to Sam and Wednesday, Scott and Allison will take good care of you, but let me know if you need anything. And if it looks like not Peter is going to leave the preserve or go anywhere near the Argent place, come get me. Better safe than sorry. They readily agree to this, so Styles leads out the front door and back over to where Erica is seated at the pit. Her feet are dangling over the side. She's painting her nails in the dim light. Hey, you. We're going to take over so you can go inside and scrape maple syrup off of the dishes, Styles tells her. Erica wrinkles her nose but doesn't protest her punishment. They've been pretty quiet, though that may be because I threatened to pour my maple syrup on them for the ants to find come daylight. She gives them her usual wicked smile. I'll leave my plate. Both of them shake their heads fondly as Erica gets to her feet and saunters back in the direction of the house. Styles swipes his finger across her syrupy plate and then licks it off. His laptop is inside and his phone is in not Peter's pocket. He could use Derek's phone, but the jammer has a range of about 50 feet, so he'd have to back off first. So instead, he looks down into the pit. Both of Jake's parents are still there. Henry and Rose, he recalls, which somehow seems an inappropriately pretty name for such a horrible woman. Hey, Henry, Cruella De Vil, how are you two doing down there? You can't hold us here, Henry shouts up with righteous indignation. This is kidnapping! Derek rests an elbow on his knee and his chin in his hand. This is their favorite fallback, isn't it? Styles gives a snort of laughter. Actually, he says, you'll find that I can. And in fact, I am. Holding you here, I mean. I could, for example, claim I'm making a citizen's arrest after I found you breaking onto my property and call the sheriff to come have you arrested. Which would all be very legal and above board. Perhaps I'll even do that, if some conditions are met. A citizen's arrest. Henry seems to find this amusing. Conditions? Cruella snaps. But she's clearly sick of being down there, and at least willing to hear Styles out. What conditions? Styles licks another bit of syrup off his finger. Did you know, he says, that the most common cause of contact lens irritation is simply that the lenses don't fit right? It's easily correctable by getting new lenses and a quick visit to the optometrist to take measurements and such. What? Henry says, puzzled by the apparent non sequitur. It took me less than 45 seconds on Google to figure out the most likely reason Jake hates wearing his contact lenses, Styles says, still in a conversational tone. You probably couldn't even invest less than a minute of your time on him. Instead, you chose to assume he's a baby or a whiner or his hands are dirty or, I don't know, maybe he was just trying to spite you. I'm really not sure. I think the narcissism and inadequacy of some people will always be beyond my understanding. I don't see how we raise our son is any of your business, Cruella sneers at them. Especially given that you're just a kid yourself, Henry adds. And you've all but given up your claim to humanity anyway. Styles just rolls his eyes. He can't help it. Okay, I'm not even going to dignify that with a response, because I have no particular interest in banging my head against a wall. However you guys want to look at it. He shakes his head and says, Derek, I'll keep an eye on them for a minute. Can you go call your lawyer pal? Or I guess you should email him. It's late. Asking him to draw up a set of papers that would transfer the custody of one, Jake Argent, from his biological parents to their cousin, Chris. If we could get it tomorrow, that would be super. Derek nods and leans over the edge of the pit. What's Jake's full name? And your name, lady? I won't tell you anything, she snaps. Jake's name, Styles says, is Jacques Francis Argent. Really, guys? And his parents are Henry Jacques Argent and Rose Philippa Argent. He was born on August 17th in 1996 in Chicago, Illinois. He smiles down at them and says, I have the internet. That kind of stuff is public record, so don't trouble yourselves. Derek smiles down at them, and it's all teeth. They're blunt like a human's, but it can't be mistaken for anything besides a wolf grin. We'll have the papers tomorrow. You know Keith likes us. Stiles lets out a snort. God knows you pay him enough. Henry folds his arms over his chest and says, we're not going to sign any such papers.
Really?
Stiles lets out a sigh. You're really going to push me on this? Let's be frank here, because it's just us. You don't even like the kid. He's a disappointment to you. I hear he has a younger brother who's better at all the hunter stuff than he is. You treat him like he's an embarrassment. You want to be embarrassed? If you push me, I will have you arrested for child abuse, and even if I can't prove anything, that will sure as hell be embarrassing.
With a disbelieving snort, Henry says, why would Chris want to add another embarrassment on top of the one he already has to put up with?
Stiles blinks down at him. Oh, I see. You want to do this the hard way.
He stares out into space for a minute, and then gives a little nod.
Okay, you're not leaving that pit until you sign those papers. And don't even think people will come looking for me. Sure they will. I'll just knock you out, cover the pit, and let them search the property. No problem. Nobody knows you're down there.
This is a lie, but they don't know that. And Stiles tells it without compunction.
Every day, you will get less food and less water. Every day, your new home will start to stink a little more. Every day, it'll be a little warmer. Because, hey, it's only midsummer right now. And eventually, if you push me far enough, you will die as a result of your stubbornness, and we will get custody of Jake by default, whereupon I will dispose of your bodies using methods that you and your friends so thoughtfully taught me earlier this week. I'm sort of interested, actually. Corella, if he dies first, would you eat his body to stay alive? I hear about that in movies and stuff, but it's got a definite yuck factor to it. Is that just me?
When the Argent seems struck speechless, Derek offers, I wouldn't. I mean, he'd be nothing but skin and bones by then, and given the heat, he'd likely go bad really fast. But that's just me, he adds with a shrug. He can smell their fear, and he knows that they'll eventually give in. But reminding them of the nitty-gritty details of their possible demise can hardly hurt.
You wouldn't, Henry finally says. You wouldn't do that.
Well, that's the sweetest part of the plan, Stiles says. I wouldn't actually have to do anything. I would just have to go about my business and do nothing. You got yourselves into this. You can get yourselves out of it.
While we're on the topic of things you've gotten yourselves into, Derek says, his tone mockingly casual, as he moves forward to dangle bare feet over the edge of the pit. Why were you trying to break into my yard and presumably my house?
To look for Jake, of course, Corilla snaps. You had left with him, and we figured you had brought him back here.
Why did you want him back so badly? Derek asks, genuinely confused. You don't even like him. I don't understand.
For the same reason they won't just sign the damn papers, Stiles says with a shrug,
when it becomes clear that the Argents aren't going to answer.
Because what would the others think when they find out the child they raised is consorting with werewolves?
Derek shakes his head. I really wish it surprised me that you're this awful.
Henry scowls up at him. I don't care what you think. I'm not signing anything.
Okay, Stiles says. Now we get to the fun part. The part where I show you what I learned from real law enforcement officers. You know what they do when they have two accomplices who committed a crime, but they don't have proof? They put them in separate rooms, tell them they do have proof, and see which one rolls on the other first.
I think it works better if you don't tell them about it, Henry sneers at him.
So how about we throw in a special bonus, Stiles proposes. Whichever one of you signs the papers first, I promise that it's the other person I will tell the hunters gave permission for their son to be given to a werewolf pack.
Derek laughs at that. Stiles, you're the best.
I'm the worst, Stiles corrects him with a grin. And don't even think I won't do it. Because remember, The conclave at large still doesn't know who I am. I will totally walk right in there and say, oh my god, did you hear about that Jake Argent kid? He was so upset about being humiliated at the tournament that he ran off and joined the local pack. And his dad actually let him do it. Or mom. You know, depending.
Allison will help, Derek says. So will Chris and Victoria once they find out what you think of their daughter.
The Argents sit in stony silence. Styles huffs. Man, this is going to be a long watch. I'm going to back 50 feet away and let you watch them so I can follow up on some of the emails I've gotten back. Cool? He says, and Derek nods. He uses Derek's phone. The screen is a little small, but he can manage. He's gotten a couple emails back, one from Deaton and one from Justin. Deaton hasn't heard of the creature specifically, but includes some good links to online bestiaries that can be relied on. Justin says that both Mel and Ravender have heard of similar types of monsters. Both of them have a name for it in their own language, which Styles notes down. But they're very slightly different. The Chinese version of the myth can appear as multiple things at the same time, and the Indian version isn't actually tangible, so neither of them fit quite right. Styles is beginning to come to the conclusion that this is the kind of monster that no one really knows a lot about, which would make sense, given that it changes so often. He's going to have to gather information based on what he's seen and what he knows of this particular monster. It might be a while before he has concrete data to work with. What he'd really like to know is how to kill it. If they can get it to change into a less durable shape than an alpha werewolf, Kate Argent, for instance, and administer a wound that could be fatal to that shape, will it be killed? Or will it just shift into something that could endure? He chews on his lower lip as he ponders all of this. Minutes trickle by and turn into hours. He and Derek take turns sitting by the edge of the pit, while the other sits far enough away to play on the phone. The Argents fall asleep around 1 o'clock in the morning, despite their best efforts. The sky is beginning to lighten before Styles finally, grudgingly, decides it's time to go in. Scott wakes up amiable enough and shambles outside to take his watch. Wednesday is currently staring at the red dot on the laptop monitor. She says that he wandered close to the old Hale house for a while, but then went back to the corner of the woods it had taken up residence in. Styles rubs both hands over his face and decides he'll have to risk waking the others with his nightmares. "I'm going to go lie down for a bit," he says, and Derek nods. He obviously doesn't intend to let Styles out of his sight, for which Styles cannot blame him. To Wednesday, he says, "Can you tell Allison or Scott or whoever to wake us when they get up?" "Sure," she says. They trudge upstairs to find Erica and Allison both sprawled out amongst the cushions. Styles toes his shoes off, strips out of his jeans, and flops onto the bed. Derek shifts and curls up beside him a moment later. He falls into a deep sleep and doesn't even wake when the others get up for the day. In fact, he doesn't wake until the sun slants into the room and hits him in the eyes. He flounders for a minute before hauling himself up and untangling himself from the blankets. He checks his watch and sees that it's 10:30. When he gets up, Derek opens one eye and grumbles. "Up and at 'em," Styles says. "We already overslept." Derek heaves a sigh and shifts back to his human form. He pulls on his jeans and a new t-shirt. Styles puts back on the same pair of jeans as the day before. He needs a shower. He's still covered in dirt and smells like smoke. He decides to get some coffee first. Allison has, of course, started the coffee maker. It's a sacred duty of whoever gets up first. "You were supposed to wake us," Styles says. "Mm-hmm," Allison replies. Styles grumbles and goes for a cup of coffee and some leftover cookies. "Wait, I'm confused again," Jake says. "Why do you punish them for disobeying sometimes, but not other times?" Styles heaves a sigh. "Orders that often go directly against my own well-being, like wake me up at such and such a time, when I really need my sleep,
are pretty often disobeyed. He takes a big swallow of the coffee. The role of the Alpha is to protect the Pack, and the role of the Pack is to protect the Alpha. It can be pretty difficult to get them to go against their instincts. Sometimes it's just not worth it. Another swallow. Especially when they're right. Have you guys eaten? Yeah, we had sandwiches, Allison says. Scott's watching the Argents. They're up, and they've had sandwiches. And they won't say a word to any of us, or to each other, if they think we're listening. Okay, what about not Peter? Hasn't moved in hours, Sam says. We think he probably found a nook or cranny to get some sleep in, presuming this thing needs sleep. Good enough, Stiles says. He drains his mug of coffee and says, I'm gonna go take a shower. I stink to high heaven. Then we'll go track down this thing and see what we can do with it. Sounds like a plan, Allison says with a nod. Stiles gives them a wave and heads upstairs. The bathroom in the master bedroom is big, almost the size of his bedroom at home. Derek designed it that way because he knows Stiles hates being in an enclosed space. The shower and bathtub are separate, and the shower is one of those Japanese models that doesn't even need a shower curtain and has a drain in the floor. The toilet area has a privacy screen and a door that can be shut, but usually isn't. Stiles didn't ask for any of this. Derek just put it in the designs without saying a word. He turns the water cold for a few minutes, knowing that will wake him up, which it definitely does. Then he turns it hot so he can give his hair a quick wash and scrub the grime off his skin. It feels good, and he has to resist the definite urge to wallow in it. There are things that need to be done. He gets out about 5 minutes later, feeling clean and perky. He rubs his hair dry with a towel quickly, and then decides to let himself air dry while he shaves. He grabs his razor. The mirror is coated with steam, so he reaches out with one hand to wipe a swath of it clear. Someone is standing behind him. The figure is a little blurry in the steam, and for a moment, Stiles thinks maybe Derek has come in to check on him. But no, he's not tall enough to be Derek. Doesn't have the stubble. He barely has time to recognize the figure as Peter Hale before one hand cups the side of his head and slams it into the wall, and everything goes black.